I just felt the need of reading a psalm this morning. A calming influence. And this is a good one. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. And this is, you know, if you meditate on that, it's like all other hopes have to, you know, if you don't let go of them, God will come along and kick down your little sandcastle of hope, because this is the, you know, from God cometh my only salvation. And we look to God for everything we need. And the word salvation, there is the complete healing and wholeness and whatever is happening, that's where our salvation comes from. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. Like a bowing wall shall you be, and like a tottering fence. What this psalm is doing is it states a position of reality in the spirit, and then it has some interaction with the enemies in your mind, and then it states another true saying, and then deals with all the chattering back talk about that reality. So that's what's happening. So he turns to the enemies. It says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. Like a bowing wall shall you be, and like a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, and they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Well, who they're trying to pull down is Christ in you. Your mind is always trying to persecute, ridicule, and shame this Christ crucified. It's stupid. You know, it doesn't work. It's counterproductive. You know, it's impractical. It's not what I want. It goes against the flow of history. You know, everything is, my progress will be impeded if I hear this doctrine and obey it. So all this, so you've got to do something. Your mind has to do something too. So you can think that this isn't true. And the psalmist here is saying that's not going to work. You all are, you know, all this stuff is like a wall, that's teetering wall that's going to fall down. That's your defense. You know, you hear these scriptures and you go, well, what about this other scripture over here? I'm going to put that over here. And then I had this really neat idea, you know, when I was in high school. I'm going to put that there.
They're about as effective as Chester was against that big dog.
Yeah. It's like you think that's, yeah, you think you're going to, you know, work some deal, and you stack all your things together, and there's no mortar holding it together, and that, it's just, you know, like blocks that kids play with, and you think from behind that wall you can achieve some salvation other than the one that's only comes from God. That's not true. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Two things in that verse. One is, notice that he's able to speak to his own soul. Who's speaking? You know, if your soul is you, then who's speaking is Christ in you, speaking to your soul, saying, you know, be at peace, be at rest, wait on God. I don't like to hear about waiting. I like to, would rather speak to my soul and say, you know, grab all the gusto that you can, or some other, you know, phrase. This is never going to be a popular TV phrase. You know, wait thou upon God. And I went to Baylor in college. I got in with some charismatic people down there, and one of our big deals was going around. We put up these little placards, you know, because Baylor's a very religious school. You know, they got all kinds of things on the religious things going on, and we put up our little deals of, you know, that God has more for you than, you know, you're currently getting or something. You know, that was our theory. It's like, golly, you know, there's all this neat stuff that God wants to pour out on everybody. You got to grab it, you know. And this is no different from any, you know, grabbing anything else, you know. And we didn't understand that, and we had to go through this whole crazy loop for God to, you know, at least in me, cracked open my little wall of blocks that I'd built. But the whole idea of grabbing stuff, which is what the world wants you to do, is wrong. It's just wrong, and it's the opposite of emptying yourself. If you empty yourself, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to. There's going to be a result from that emptying. You don't have any way of doing anything other than trusting in the moment that you're emptying. So we don't like that. So you have to tell your soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from Him.
I couldn't wait.
For those listening, Gary has just suddenly gotten up to answer his phone and walked briskly out the door. It's too bad we have commentary going. You know, our expectations run the gamut. I mean, I've got, right now, each one of us has 50 expectations about something's coming up. You know, I expect I'm going to go take a shower and get ready to go to work, you know. But, you know, that may not happen. It may not happen. And, you know, that's not like a great big expectation. I won't be that disappointed. Although I'll be a little smelly, I guess, if I don't take my shower. But, you know, our mind is filled with expectations. You know, that's what our mind does. And this scripture comes against that and says your expectation is in God. You're like, it's just the same thing as saying your hope is in Him, your salvation is in Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And Selah is like, stop and think about this and meditate on it. The opposite of having your own defense and strength and expectations and all the other things is to pour out your heart before Him. And that's probably the purest example of, you know, in the Psalms of abandoning yourself. You know, it just says it. Pour your heart out before Him. And that's it requires God breaking your heart so you can be poured out. And it requires repentance and turning away from yourself. You're letting go of yourself. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Wow. There's a lot of vanity in that verse. But a lot of vanity doesn't add up to much. It's lighter than a whisper of a feather. And our chief problem as human beings is taking ourselves so seriously that we think we have all this weight. You know, so the mystery of gravity, you know, in the universe is that, you know, gravity in planets or things, you know, it can actually bend light, you know, as it comes around, you know, comes past some star or something, you know, the light from another star is bent by a gravitational force. pull. And so, you know, eventually if you have enough gravity, you're a black hole and you pull everything into yourself. And so the weightier that you feel that you are, you know, the more you're pulling into yourself and the harder it is to pour out your heart before God. So how seriously do you take yourself today? You know, are you just like a regular Jupiter-sized planet, or are you, becoming on that black hole road where you're sucking in all the, you know, energy and life from all the people around you and your family and your coworkers, and you know, that whole side of Dallas is going to, you know, be sucked into you, you know, and that happens sometimes. That's the way I feel sometimes, and you have to repent. God does something. Thank goodness that, or somebody points that out. Hey, you're like a black hole today. What's the matter? Well, you're taking yourself a little too seriously. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. And oppression, I mean, can mean a lot of things. It's, you know, if I manipulate the situation for my benefit, then I'm oppressing you. You may not know it. You know, I'm not like hitting you with a skillet or something, but I'm still oppression. You know, you're trusting in your ability to control. And it says, trust not in oppression. And become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. I have to go back to the Mary's Magnificat, you know, where she speaks all these wonderful things, you know, as Jesus leaps in the womb, you know, in response to meeting Elizabeth, you know, and John the Baptist, Holy Spirit comes upon him, and all this stuff happens. And she says, you know, that refers to people who are enriching themselves. And so that's what this is, you know, it sort of puts a different spin on it. Because, you know, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Well, I'm not going to really have to worry about that too much, you know. You know, if I just the normal, you know, so that sort of says, like, you've got a lot of riches, and if they start to increase, don't set your heart upon it. But what it's talking about is warning against enriching yourself in any way. Anything that has to do with you is an enrichment. You don't set your heart upon him because your heart is poured out before him. So your heart is not grasping stuff, it's pouring out stuff. Pouring out what's there. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Control belongeth unto God. You know, if we really believe that, we'd give up all of the things we try and do to control things, to make things go our way, to, you know, to make people be the way we want them to be. On and on. Power belongs unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. And then why does it say mercy belongs to God, and then the reason is because God rendereth to every man according to his work? Because according to our works, we're left in a position where we need a whole lot of mercy. You know, it's not like, well, you know, half the people are doing some pretty good works, they don't need a whole lot of mercy, and then the other, you know, third, you know, it's like there's no division. Everybody is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and our works and lack thereof are the things that condemn us, because, you know, our works are evil. We're judged by our works, you know, our lack of good works and our abundance of bad works are there to show us that we need God's mercy. You know, the We were just talking about this very thing. In go to the Gospel of John for a minute. Chapter 6. I'm really going to verse 29. I'll start a little before then. And they're asking Jesus questions, and he's answering them. And in verse 26 it says, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." You're stuffed. That's really what the word is. "Labor not for the food that perishes, but for that food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." And if we believe on him whom he has sent, then God will be judging us according to our work, because that will be our work. It's like the only work the only work that we can actually do that means anything is not a work at all. It's a breaking. Because to believe on him whom he has sent sets into motion all these things the Psalm talks about. Pouring out from your heart. Yeah. And then he sees Christ and he's pleased. Instead of seeing Gary. Or John. So, this psalm is a comfort to us, because, you know, it like all of the psalms, they direct us to the place where there's only, you know, the only way we can have peace or, you know, have anything happen other than death is to pour ourselves out before God. To wait on God is like our full attention is focused on him. You know, the idea of a waiter in a restaurant is, you know, you want the waiter to anticipate your needs and do it, you know, do stuff for you. So they're always looking. They've got you. You don't want to have to, like, you know, call the waiter. I mean, that's one way to interpret this. But that's what I think about when I see waiting on God, because it's like you're not doing your own thing and then waiting on God to intervene and, you know, tell you something. You are focused on him and him alone. I bet you're looking for Pete. Oh, John is Pete. John is transferred. Yeah, come on in. So anyway, I can tell we're nearing the end of our Bible study. As all of our little blocks start falling down.
Pouring out. Pour out when you're broken, as opposed to kind of measuring.
Doling out.
By your own doling out by your own design. God desires.
Usually when you dole out stuff, you are trusting in oppression, because you're trying to manipulate something by and can retain control over what's happening. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, right. You want to. Right. I won't have anything of me left to enjoy the fact that I'm giving it to you.
If I'm not here, he's going to wait on God.
Anyway, think on all this stuff today.
You talked about work, and I thought about this in 1 Corinthians 3, where the men build. Work will be made manifest. What do you think that means?
I'd have to look at it. But, you know, it's like we've talked about wood, hay, and stubble as, you know, these different kinds of what goes into your idolatry. And, you know, it's like, anyway, that's a whole other story. Anyway, goodbye. Thank you. Lord bless you and keep you.